G'day Limestone Coasters, welcome to another catch-up. Here's what happened this morning on the Limestone Coast Triple M.
You and Grant, the breakfast.
Got to send out an absolutely huge shout-out to Troy Bell this morning. Troy would be jumping through hoops, he'd be over the moon. The fracking ban looks set in stone. The Libs have agreed to back it, and we're going to find out all about what that means later on this morning. Troy's actually going to join us, hopefully after 7:30 this morning, for another chat. Now, on 963 Triple M, there is a whole host of other things that I want to tell you about, because there's been some amazing news in the Limestone Coast right the way across this week that we want to celebrate.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
It is your local 963 Triple M. It is great to have you company this morning as we start the day. Now, on 963 Triple M, Luke and the team from the night shift this morning, they were talking all about a bloke that probably wasn't on our radar until very, very recently. John Millman. Everybody has been talking about him over the last 24 hours. For very, very good reasons. And this morning, Luke and Hufanane, they caught up with John Millman's manager live from New York City. Sasha Skiber is his name. Here is what the guys had to say.
Now, we are on John Millman watch today.
We absolutely are.
John who? John Millman.
Well, you were saying that the other day.
I wasn't going to say that.
We were all over it a couple of days ago. We've got some live action now before we cross to Sasha. Marin Cilic is up against Kaini Shikori. Now, the winner, it's so Cilic won the first set 6-2. The Japanese tennis player then won the second set 6-4. So it's a set apiece, and Nishikori leads the third set 2-love. But the winner of this game will then play the winner of the Novak Djokovic quarterfinal with John Millman. We've got live on the radio now his manager and close mate, Sasha Skiber in New York. How are you, buddy?
Good, thanks, Luke. Good, thanks, Jeff. How are you both?
Very well. Tell us the mood. How is John travelling?
Yeah, he's very good. He's very good. I think I was saying to you last time, he was anxious before the tournament when he's had a bit of an interrupted lead-up with injury. But now I think because he's gone so far and he's been playing such great tennis, you know, he's really got nothing to lose and he's feeling really good.
Well, he definitely got the better of Federer when it was hot and humid 2 days ago. Do you think he'll use the climate as his advantage again against Novak?
I don't think it's an advantage for either player. You know, if it gets physical, I think John is fantastic when it's physical. He's so fit and he's used to, obviously, growing up in Brisbane, he loves the heat. But if it does become physical, that's great for John if he can make it that way. But I wouldn't say it's an advantage because, you know, it is really tough. It's really muggy. I know Roger really struggled and alluded to that in his press conference. So it's tough for both of them, but I do back John's fitness. I think he'll do just fine.
Yeah, it's stifling heat over there in New York.
I tell you what, Sasha, his price has gone up, eh? His price has gone up.
He was paying $12 the other day. Now he's almost a favourite.
Nah, but I'm telling you, for Nutri-Grain ads and undies ads, he's looking very good.
Happy days.
Sasha's. It's going to be an incredible day today. Watch this space. John Millman. The game is going to be sensational. Hopefully he walks away a winner over in New York City.
You and Grant.
Triple M. Hey, a big good morning to you wherever you are across the Limestone Coast this morning. Hopefully it's a sensational start to your day. Now, on Saturday night, a family were looking up in the skies in Melbourne, and they reckon that they saw three lights in the sky that were unidentifiable. They reckon if it was a drone, it was really high up and really, really big. They reckon if it was a plane, it was traveling over 500 k's an hour. And they reckon it was a UFO. Have you ever seen a UFO? I'd love to know across the Limestone Coast if you have ever seen something that's just truly unexplainable. 13 27 10 is the number to call if you'd like to share this morning. Now, on your local, it's time for us to catch up with Katja to find out what is making local news around the Limestone Coast. Good morning.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local headlines, a 30-year-old Millicent driver will face court following a traffic stop. A bill calling for a 10-year ban on fracking in the southeast region has passed through the lower house. Deputy Leader of the Opposition in Legislative Council, Claire Scriven, has slammed the scrapping of a program, and Limestone Coast producers are being reminded to put safety first this grain harvest season. All of that in sport coming up soon.
On 963 Triple M, the fracking news is absolutely fantastic, and later on this morning, morning. I'm going to catch up with Troy Bell, give him a call, and we'll find out the details. He must be over the moon.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. A couple of miners have been freed overnight in New South Wales after being stuck a hell of a long way underground. When it comes to news internationally, Hannah Rose Hamer and the team are going to talk about a couple of Russians that have been charged after a whole heap of stuff went down in Britain. And on your local, one of the things that you can hear more about across the day today, Julie Bishop is unhappy with the Liberal Party and the amount of female representation that the Liberal Party has. We'll talk more about it later on this morning.
Ewan Grant for breakfast.
Now, other than being stuffed up with a cold today, I tell you what, I have just been freaked out. I've been talking to a mate who's a truck driver. And, well, I get to talk to a lot of truck drivers around the Limestone Coast. They're up about the same time as I am. And one of my mates gave me a call this morning, and he was telling me all about some of the strange and bizarre occurrences that have taken place while he's been driving trucks across Australia. Specifically, we're talking about the Nullarbor Plain and just some of the eerie sights he has seen at night, lights trailing you and all that sort of stuff. It'd freak me out. I'd be a dribbling mess on the side of the road. But I would love to know from you what you've seen, because on the weekend, on Saturday night, a family is convinced that they saw a UFO over the skies of Melbourne. Now, you can give me a call, 132017. You can jump online to the Triple M Limestone Coast Facebook page. I would love to hear your stories if you've got them across the Limestone Coast today.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
2019, the old jail. John Farnham is going to be there, and it is going to be incredible. On 963 Triple M, great to have you company this morning as we get close to 7. One of the things that's going on this weekend, I've only just found out about it, there's going to be a 2018 Big Red Kidney Walk. It's a walk to fight kidney disease. It's taking place at the Raylands, and it's going to be on the 9th of September. It's going to kick off at 10 a.m, and you can register online. BigRedKidneyWalk.org.au is how you can find out all about it. But Railway Lands, Bay Road, Wheel Street, 10 a.m. on Sunday, the 9th of September. It's going to be absolutely huge. Make sure you go along and be part of it if you can, as it raises money for a great cause, the Walk to Fight Kidney Disease. I'll see if I can catch up with the organisers tomorrow morning and have a chat on the radio about it as well.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M.
Well, and big shout out to everybody at the Narra Court Herald today. On the front page of the paper, you're going to find out about Narra Court Border Towns Variety Bash SA drivers who have raised $32,000. That is unbelievable. A team of locals who drove in this year's Variety Bash have raised a huge amount of money. Sensational, and congratulations to them. Also making news today on the front page of the Narra Court Herald, and after the weekend that was up and around Narra Court, senior police figures have expressed frustration over the spate of deaths on our region's highways, including the two fatalities within a matter of hours in Narra Court on the weekend. You can read all about it in the pages of the paper today. At the South East Times, Millicent is gripped by finals fever. There's a fantastic photo on the front page of the paper, getting set for that one day in September. And some unfortunate news that broke probably in the last 2 days. Administrators have been set to be appointed for the Millicent and District Community Club, apparently today, after club members and management committee members decided to close the doors on the 54-year club. It's sad news for the community club. Hopefully something can be done. It would be a shame to see it close its doors forever. But you can read all about it on the pages of the South Eastern Times today. On the Border Watch, it's all about fracking and the ban win, the landmark bill to enshrine the moratorium into law. It is fantastic. And later on this morning, I'm going to talk to Troy Bell all about it, because he would be absolutely stoked this morning, I can tell you.
The Limestone Coasts, 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast, 963 Triple M. I tell you what, the Queensland Ambulance Service officers in this next story deserve a huge round of applause. It is one of the best stories I have heard about all week. Now, they had a terminally ill gentleman who they were taking to palliative care, and The man concerned was a 72-year-old, and on his way to palliative care, he asked the paramedics if he could have one last treat. Now, the paramedics obliged. They stopped off at the local McDonald's. He got a caramel sundae one last time. There's some fantastic photos online about it, and it truly is just one of those incredible stories that's going to make you go, today. And good on the guys for doing it as well. I'm presuming it was guys. It might have been guys and girls, but congratulations to them, no matter what. Doing a good deed for somebody who was coming to the end of their life and needed a good deed done for them. It's just sensational.
You and Grant
for breakfast.
Now, on your local 963 Triple M, I tell you what, one of the really cool things that we are doing at the moment, talking about footy finals, we're giving you the chance to go along to the ultimate grand final experience on us here at the Limestone Coast Triple M. AFL authorisation, GF promotion, GFAFL 18-146. What I'm talking about, imagine arriving at the MCG after a luxurious dinner experience. Premium reserve seating. Taking your mate to see interviews with renowned AFL players and coaches as they share their Toyota AFL Grand Final Day stories. Getting an inner sanctum behind the scenes pre-game experience. Taking home your very own souvenir Grand Final ticket and AFL record as well. Like the players, you've shown up each and every week for the 2018 season. And we would like to see you at the Toyota AFL Grand Final. What you need to do for a chance to win, join the Triple M Club at triplem.com.au. What are you waiting for? It's free to join. All you need to do is jump online and I will see if we can make you a winner in the lead up to the 2018 Toyota AFL Grand Final. It's going to be huge.
You and Grant
for breakfast.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. I tell you what, it's been a tumultuous week in Kingston. There has been lots of talk about Larry the Lobster and this morning, I want to introduce you to a lady called Linda. She is from Odison Partners Real Estate in Robe. Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
Linda, there has been a flurry of talk about whether Larry the Lobster was being sold and about whether he was going to be moved to another part of Australia. People were up in arms. What has been going on?
Well, we had a lot of interested parties and some weren't local parties, of course. But we're very lucky to say now that a local party has actually purchased Larry the Lobster.
That is so very cool. Linda, have you been amazed by the response from people not only here in the Limestone Coast, but right the way across Australia and around the globe at Larry's imminent sale?
I don't think I was amazed because he's a very important icon for the community. And he's so large, like 17 metres tall lobster, and he weighs approximately like 4 tonnes. So he's one of the biggest things actually in Australia. When you look at the list of big things in Australia, he's right up there.
He's one of the biggest big things.
Yeah, he's one of the biggest big things. So I don't think I was amazed with the publicity that he got. But yeah, it's just so great that we've got a local farming family that's actually purchased him.
So Linda, what can you tell me about the purchases and what does it mean for Larry going ahead now?
Well, it's the Brinkworth family. So they're local farmers in the Kingston area, quite well known around, and basically Mr. Brinkworth gave us a call on Father's Day very early in the morning. Being a farmer, he was up and about quite early, and put an offer in because he'd heard that someone that wasn't local might be purchasing Larry, and he decided that this might be something he wants to do for the community.
Linda, what was the response from the Kingston community about the sale of Larry and the possibility that Larry the Lobster may no longer be a Limestone Coast local?
Well, since he went on the market 12 months ago, we've had lots and lots of interest from other parties all around calling to speak about Larry and if they could actually take Larry out of town, that kind of thing. It happened 12 months ago. People were calling and the vendor was, you know, very adamant, no, he wanted a local buyer. Mm. So the vendor has been really great. 12 months ago, we had lots of offers on the table for Larry to actually leave Kingston, but the vendor said no, he wanted to keep him locally. So we're just really thrilled that the Brinkworth family has actually given us a call and put an offer in and has been accepted, and he has purchased himself a 12-metre tall lobster and a large piece of land.
Linda, one final question. What has the response been to the sale of Larry the Lobster? Are locals pleased that he's staying?
Oh, very pleased. Lots of people are very, very happy, and I think he's exactly where he should be, sitting there looking over the town, basically, and welcoming everyone as they enter into Kingston.
Linda, I couldn't agree more. I think it's sensational that he's staying in the Limestone Coast. It would have been a travesty to see him leave. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And please pass on our thanks to the Brinkworth family. They've done a huge thing for the Limestone Coast community.
Will do. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thanks, Linda. On 963 Triple M. How cool is that? Larry is staying, and it's just sensational.
You and Grant.
Triple M.
Big good morning to you across the Limestone Coast, wherever you are. It is great to have your company today. Julie Bishop has spoken out, opening up about the appalling behaviour in Canberra of her Liberal colleagues. It's something you're going to hear a whole lot more about across the day today. She's also given the Liberal Party a shellacking about the lack of female representation in the party as well. Now, on 963 Triple M, talking local stuff around the Limestone Coast, one of the big stories is all about the fracking ban in State Parliament. Here is Karcher to tell us more. Good morning.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local headlines, a Millicent driver has been reported for exceeding the prescribed concentration of alcohol after allegedly returning a positive result to a breath test. Mount Gambier MP Troy Bell is celebrating a victory in the lower house. The state budget has been handed down for the year, the Marshall Liberals government scrapping a $24 million grant scheme. And SafeWork SA are calling for producers to make safety a top priority as grain harvest season gets underway. All of that in sport coming up soon.
Coach is going to be back in the next 10 or 15. Hannah Rose Hammer is going to stop by for a chat with us as well. Keep us up to date with things that are going on locally. A couple of Russians have been charged after a poisoning attack in England that took place recently. We'll find out more soon.
The Limestone Coasts 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. We're sending a shout out to Clint, to Diana, to Vicky, to Matt, and a whole host of others that have stopped on by this morning. I am stuffed up with a cold today. It's going through the office here at the Limestone Coast Triple M. And I must admit, I am probably not fit to be on radio today because I've got some hot and cold flushes going on. So I wanted to know what your go-to remedy is for a cold. I can't do much about it till 9 o'clock this morning, but I am looking for your best remedies because I really need to get over this. Now on 963 Triple M, as we get close to news and sport, birthdays aren't that far away. And before we get to birthdays, Milo yesterday was talking all about the fact that as we get into finals footy in the AFL, we've got some pretty incredible blokes from around the Limestone Coast who are all suiting up.
Of course, finals in a big way on tonight, Thursday night, AFL, and no doubt everyone will have to decide who they're barrack for if they don't support the sides in it. But I'll tell you what, just for a little area, we're batting pretty well because there are 8 ex-Southeast Limestone Coast boys and Western Districts Victoria boys that are in the mix for selection to play in the finals that start this week. Tonight, of course, Richmond and Hawthorn. The Eagles, Jack Redden from Keith, so he's gone a long way. Geelong, Jordan Murdoch, Port Mac, Lincoln McCarthy from Bordertown. The Hawks, Tim O'Brien from West Gambier, he's in the mix because he's got a few little injury clouds. The Swans, Jordan Dawson from Robe by the seaside. And the Giants, just over the border, Dartmoor Hayward, Jeremy Cameron. And from the Demons, Oscar McDonald, key player up forward, can go to defence from Eden Hope Apsley. And, of course, his old club's part of the KNT still and moved over to the Horsham Districts Footy League. Now, ex-Kaztec Rural Pioneers basketballer Jack Madgen, he's with the Pies. So we're batting pretty well for a sort of divided area between the border and the South Australian side of things.
My goodness, we are batting very, very well. And later on this morning, talking footy finals. Pity going to join us. We're going to do some footy tipping.
You and Grant.
Triple M.
I've got a bloke on the line who must be smiling from ear to ear this morning. The member for Mount Gambier, Troy Bell, he joins me. Troy, good morning.
Good morning, Ewan. Good morning, listeners.
Troy, sensational news. Yesterday you introduced a bill into Parliament and it got through the lower house. What were you introducing, first of all?
It was the 10-year ban on fracking to actually legislate it so that if any time in the 10 years another government wants to change that, they actually have to go through the whole parliamentary process of passing both houses to get rid of that bill, which... just gives us security down home. It gives all industries the ability to move forward with confidence in the next 10 years. And like I say, that also applies to the mining company. They can move forward with confidence over the next 10 years at conventional gas extraction, no problem. Fracking, unconventional, definitely not.
Mm. Now, mate, obviously putting a bill into Parliament is probably an awful lot of work behind the scenes.
It is for an independent, yes. You don't have a party to help you draft the bill. You're literally on your own. And yesterday, part of the process is once you introduce the bill and they have a lot of speakers, then they go through the bill line by line and try and rip it apart and catch you out and ask questions that you might not know the answer to. Normally, a minister would have high-level advisors sitting right next to them and they, you know, seek advice.
Mm-hmm.
As an independent, you don't get any of that, so you are literally on your own answering questions from both Liberal, Labor, and anybody else.
Troy, it's been a bloody long process to get this to a fruition.
It's been, over 4 years. So this issue first popped up before the 2014 election. I gave a commitment to the community that I would look at it seriously. Travelled to America twice. And I've read more books on fracking than anybody would really want to care to know. But from there, I formed the view that the sensible way forward was a 10-year ban. And it's very pleasing to see that that's now come into effect.
So what happens now? Is it all locked in, or does it have to go to another part of government, or what's the deal?
So from here, it needs to go to the upper house, but that's assured now that the Liberals have locked in behind it. So in the upper house, the Greens and SA Best have indicated they'll be supporting it, so it'll sail through. The real interesting challenge, I suppose, for Claire Scriven and Kaya Ma, who purport to be locals, is what are they going to do? Are they going to stay with the Labor Party and vote against this bill, or are they actually going to put the people of the South East first and support this bill? So that's probably the only little interesting thing, but it's never a done deal, I suppose, in politics till it's signed by the governor, but very, very confident it'll get through in about a week's time.
Troy, were you surprised by the fact that you've had so much support from government?
I guess, and I need to give Stephen Marshall and the Liberal Party ultimate credit here. Before the election, they said they would ban it for 10 years. When we pointed out that we wanted that legislated, they've locked in behind and done that. That shows real leadership from a Premier and a Liberal team that, is really saying, you can trust us. We say one thing and we're going to make sure we honour that. So I'm very grateful to Stephen Marshall and his leadership within the Liberal Party.
Troy, sensational news. It really is. Everybody's been talking about it in the last 24 hours. Congratulations. You must be over the moon. Enjoy it while you can. I'm sure in politics there's so many ups and downs, but today's an up.
Correct. Thanks, Ewan. Have a great day.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. There have been some fantastic news stories for the Limestone Coast over the last 48 hours or so. Larry the Lobster is staying in the Limestone Coast. He's been sold to a local family, which is fantastic. We've had great news from Rex. We've had great news in regards to fracking in the Limestone Coast. And earlier this week, there was a massive announcement that that saw Timberlink say that they were going to invest $100 million into Australia in timber. And some of that's going to take place here in Tarpina. Now, I don't know all the details, but I do know a man who knows exactly what is going on. He is the CEO of Timberlink. Ian Tyson joins us on the line. Ian, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ian. Nice to speak to you.
Hey, Ian, $100 million investment. That is huge, dude.
Yeah, look, it is enormous by any standard, and it shows a real confidence in our industry, and I think an enormous confidence in the region, more importantly.
So, Ian, tell me about Timberlink and tell me about what this $100 million is going to go to across Australia.
Yes, well, Timberlink has a long-term commitment and vision for the Australian timber industry, and because of that and our forest heritage, we're able to invest in ways that perhaps other companies can't. The timber industry in Australia has an enormous future. The pine plantation industry that Mount Gambier is famous for really has an enormous future in an era where people are building and appreciating the value of timber more than they ever have. The sustainability of it, the fact that it's a carbon storage, it's light, it's easy to build with, it's got engineered properties and so on, has really made the 21st century, in the mind of many people around the world, the era of timber. And that's amazing for a material that's been around for, millennium.
Mm-hmm. So, Ian, take us through the timber mill at Tarpena and what you guys do.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we process, hundreds of thousands of tons of sawlog, which we turn into timber products. Largely, the products go into building homes for Australians. So it's framing timbers, pergolas, decking materials, sleepers, the sorts of things that you see around you every day, the sorts of things that start the house construction. We employ over 200 people at the site, indirectly about another 750. So people who are working in the forest, they're carting the timber, they're cutting the wood in the forest, they're replanting them, and so it goes on right through to the supply chain to our good customers who are selling the product and the people who are building. So it's a real multiplier of economic activity. Mm. And so for every dollar we spend, there's something like $3 or $4 that actually generates an economic gain for the whole of the country. And so it's a great place to invest. Australia is still a net importer of timber. 25% of our Australian homes are built with timber that's grown somewhere outside of Australia, usually in somewhere in Europe or maybe North America. So
that's a surprising figure.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. And we've always been an importer of timber since the beginning of Australian home building, and we see it as part of our opportunity is to build more Australian homes with Australian timber. And but to do that, you've got to invest, you've got to have the plantation estate in place, and then you've got to put the capital and the people in place to unlock that value. And that's great for the nation. It's a real nation building activity.
Ian, what does the investment entail in the Limestone Coast at Tarpena, and what are you guys going to be able to do when that investment is fulfilled?
Yes, well, it's a substantial investment, as you can tell from the money invested, but just some simple measures. There'll be over 200 contractors working on the site, helping us to deliver the upgrade and the expansion. The great majority of those will be local contractors we've used through the years, and they continue to work with us in maintaining and looking after our equipment as well. So it creates ongoing employment as well as employment at the time. Mm. We've already spent over $40 million on the mill in the last 5 years, so this is part of an ongoing upgrade to the facility, and really we're seeking to get this to a world-class facility so we can compete with imports effectively and profitably, deliver product in the market and meet their customer expectations in terms of quality. But also it's an opportunity to upgrade the skills of our people. This is world-class technology we're putting in. So we can train, we can develop our people. There'll be people travelling overseas to see what the best looks like so they can bring it back to Tarpena. And this is a world-class project. People from around the world, when this is finished, will want to come and see what we've created.
Ian, when can we expect the works to be completed by?
Well, we're just moving into the sort of contract letting stage. We've been working on this project for over 2 years, as you can imagine. And over the next 2.5 years, it'll reach completion. So there are lots of milestones in here. But before we get to Christmas, we'll have contractors working on site. We'll be starting to do earthworks and clearance and a lot of site activity. And that will just escalate through the whole of next year. So we're going to have a very, very busy time. And at the same time, it's a very busy operation anyway. We've increased the capacity of that mill quite considerably, and we've been partially modernising it. So it's a busy site at the same time while we're implementing what is a real game-changing investment for us.
Ian, over the next 2.5 years, I hope we get the chance to chat a whole lot more about what's going on out at Tarpena. It's sensational for Tarpena and for the Limestone Coast, and a huge thanks for taking the time out to have a chat to us on the radio this morning, man.
Oh, look, we're very happy to. It's great news for the region. It's great news for our employees and the community at large and our customers. So it's a good news story for Australia overall. And when you've got a chance, we'd love to have you out. We'll show you around.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Timberlink's $100 million investment package. You can find out more about it, triplem.com.au. Ian Tyson is the CEO. And mark my words, we're going to have him back on the radio to talk over the course of the coming months.
Ewan Grant for breakfast.
Now on the Lobster Coast 963 Triple M, the bill has passed the lower house to enshrine a ban on fracking for 10 years in the Limestone Coast. You can find out all about it at triplem.com.au. But Katja is talking all about it this morning, and it's time to say a huge good morning to her.
Thanks, Ewan. Coming up in local headlines, police have reported a Millicent man following a traffic stop. Mount Gambier MP Troy Bell's proposed bill has gone through the lower house this week. Deputy Leader of the Opposition in Legislative Council, Claire Scriven, has called for the state government to reinstate a grant program. And Limestone Coast locals are being urged to keep safety a top priority this grain harvest season. All of that in sport coming up soon.
Coach is going to be back soon. Hannah Rose Hamer is going to stop by for a chat as well. I am going to talk all about our grand final ticket for the Toyota 2018 AFL Grand Final.
You and Grant for breakfast.
Triple M. Golden Grand Final ticket.
It is your local 963 Triple M. I tell you what, we are giving you the chance at a monumental prize. Golden Grand Final ticket. You've got the chance of winning it right here on Triple M. Stephen is on the line. Stephen, good morning.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good. Hey, Stephen, you're a footy fan. Who do you barrack for?
The Bombers, unfortunately.
Oh, no. So you guys are out of finals contention completely. Who do you reckon is going to make it to the Grand Final this year?
I'm thinking Collingwood.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. Who do you reckon they're going to go up against, mate?
Probably Richmond, if it can work out that way.
And do you reckon Richmond's going to win, or do you reckon Collingwood's going to get the flag?
Probably the Tigers.
Mate, back-to-back wins, you reckon?
Yeah.
Stephen, have you ever been lucky enough to go to a grand final?
No, never.
Mate, what do you reckon it'd be like?
It'd be awesome.
Who would you take if you were lucky enough to win?
I'm not sure on that one. Probably depend on the team, so I'd say.
Sounds fair enough. Hey, Stephen, you're in with a chance to win. Thanks for being a member of the Triple M Club, man, and good luck in the lead up to the AFL Grand Final. It could well be yours.
No worries. Thanks for that.
Thanks, heaps, man, on 963 Triple M. If you would like the chance to win the 2018 Toyota AFL Grand Final, we would like to see you there. AFL authorisation, GF promotion, GFAFL. 18-146. For your chance to win, join the Triple M Club, just like Stephen, triplem.com.au. You never know. You could be a winner on us here at the Limestone Coast Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M.
The Limestone Coast 963 Triple M. Craig Phelps, Spot On Fishing. We get to talk about what's going on around the Limestone Coast. G'day, Craig.
How are you, mate? It's been a great week.
Mate, it's been sensational so far. Don't know how the weekend's going to shape up, though.
Yeah, a little bit of breeze, northerly, so may not be too bad. We've got a reasonable amount of swell and strong northerly, so land-based it should be okay. Out in the boats, I think you'd want to be pretty careful. It might be okay in spots like Douglas and Livingston, your protected bays and that type of thing inside the breakwater, but I think the offshore fishers will struggle. But yeah, gee whiz, it's been a great week. The salmon have been exceptional. Beachport salmon hole, lots of fish. I've seen photos of fish up to a couple of kilo, most around the kilo mark, but plenty of them. If the weather does what it's supposed to and it stays sort of with the hint of north, it should be great down there, especially with that swell on Cape Banks. Still a bit of weed, but most of it was washed up on the beach last weekend, so they did catch some nice fish down there as well. Mm. The garfish have been fabulous. Cape Douglas, the hot spot. Reasonable fish at Livingston's. Starting to see a few more squid and a few more whiting as well. Still a little bit early to target the whiting, but it's a good sign to see a few show up early. The Glenelg River's been very, very good. Starting to see some reasonable mulloway down the mouth now. Not huge fish, but in saying that, fish, rumours of one that was about 10 kilo. Yeah, just really good fish on vibes, soft plastics on the bottom. Saturday night, I believe some of the locals even trolled some up on live mullet, so that shows us that the water's getting a lot better. The bream have been very, very good down there as well. Most of the action we've heard has been sort of from the bridge down, but no doubt we'll see them move up. A couple of weeks ago, there was some good fish off the Sandy Water Hole landing, so they are through the system. But as the water cleans up,
people tend to be attracted to the mouth. The fish are concentrated down there, so it's a little bit easier to find them. So, yeah, it's doing what it's supposed to do. If we don't get any crazy rain over the next 3-4 weeks, it'll slowly sort of clean up every day, and we'll see good numbers of big fish down the bottom, touch wood. The offshore scene last weekend saw some nice fish, harpooker out wide. Was a fair bit of swirl, but once you got out wide, it was okay. I doubt if we'll see any offshore fishing over the next few days just by the looks of the weather, but hopefully next week it settles down a little bit. But all in all, it's really firing up and looking great. We're enjoying the extra couple of degrees and making the most of the days when that sort of wind backs off. So the fish are there. We just need the right conditions.
Spring is here. It's going to warm up. Cannot wait for it. Mate, always great to catch up and talk about fishing in the Limestone Coast. We'll see you next week.
Good on you, Ewan. See you, mate. You and Grant. For
breakfast. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with what is going on news-wise across the nation, around the globe, and here closer to home in the Limestone Coast too. Just jump online, triplem.com.au. All the news of the bill passing the lower house for the fracking ban in the Limestone Coast, you can read all about it online. You can also find out more about Timberlink's $100 million investment across Australia online on your local Triple M.
The Limestone Coast's 963 Triple M.
That signals my time to say goodbye. Have an amazing day today. I will catch you tomorrow morning. The Brekkie Show will be back. There's a lot of sport to talk about. A whole lot more will be coming up. We'll look at what's going on for the weekend. Join me from 6. See you tomorrow.